Hi guys, Phil Wintermantle here, and this month's Botcast CD is a little different than normal because as a special one-off, we've decided to bring you a recording of the recent Club and Above webinar with my guest Martin Norbury on how to scale your business, then sack yourself so you can work when and where you want. We had some great feedback on this call. There's some real nuggets to take away for you. We will, of course, resume normal service with the Botcast next month, but you know, we like to keep things entertaining and mix things up a little, so let's know what you think about this and enjoy.
So we're going to get straight into the meat as usual on these webinars. So what we're going to cover today is how Martin has approached scaling businesses, give you some background on that and some real examples. We're going to cover why there's a specific formula for any size of business as well when it comes to scaling and exiting the business, if that's what you decide to do. And we're going to talk about how it's all about your business DNA and how you structure your business. And we've got Martin's scale model that we're going to go through in detail, which will make more sense as we go through today. So Martin, tell us, this all started really back in 2004. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, so as I said, I was headhunted from the company I was heading up as a strategy development team to go and run this PLC. And in my market was the accident repair market. This PLC, to all intents and purposes, was doing quite well. And when I got there on day one, I was huddled up into a boardroom and said, okay, you can't actually come down for a few days because the guy you're replacing doesn't know it yet. He's away because it's his dad's funeral. So we need to have a chat with him. So it was all a bit of a strange situation. Mm. But what it gave me the opportunity was to look at the business in some detail. Now, I knew I was going there. So I had probably about 2 months, a little bit of plan. So what I was going to do when I was going to get there, like all good business people, I just sort of had a little plan, 90 days of what I was going to try and do. Listen a lot, understand what they're doing, learn a lot, and then come up with my own little strategy. And apart from running my own smaller businesses, this was the first time I was in charge of a business that was several million turnover, about 110 staff, I think, when I got there. Mm-hmm. So what I actually started to realise as I was going through the figures was it was in a really bad position. And I can't really name it too much because there's PLC and you're not allowed to say these things, but this is a private group anyway. It was in a bad position that there was lots of attrition with customers. The staff, by looking around the business and just seeing what was going on, didn't seem to be very happy because I was walking past them up to the boardroom. The suppliers, we had a big supply chain, didn't seem to be focused. The sales weren't coming in. And looking at the figures, in all honesty, I'd have given that business probably about 6 months without the board support. And I knew I had to turn it around quite quickly. So I was in a bit of a real challenging situation. I think, what the hell have I done? And I didn't really know, because there wasn't such thing as a CEO handbook, what to do next. But one of the things I've always been a big fan on is goal setting. And I thought, what I need to do is I need to set some goals that this company can achieve bit by bit by bit. And once they've achieved them, they grow confidence of going to the next stage. And it was, I eventually was let downstairs into the management team, and this guy was still around for a little bit, not long, and we sat in a management team meeting, and it was really bizarre because I was sat playing with multi-million pounds. It was like playing Monopoly. Mm-hmm. It really was. So there was not money physically going across the table, but there was budgets where we were talking about spending a few million here and a few hundred thousand, and it's like, this is just really weird. But that realisation for me, actually, that's exactly what I was doing. I was sort of playing the game. And that sounds quite bizarre, yeah. But games have rules and games have strategies and structures and games have roles and people and what they do. And I thought, if I could get this across to the team quite effectively, the game of what we play and how we play it, then actually I might be able to do something here. So I set myself this big challenge. I'm not here to say that at that point I designed the scale model. I think a lot of webinars, they say, I went through this struggle and I got to this success, and because of that, I've done this, and this. The scale model actually came out from the mastermind. I'm part of Nigel's group last year, where my mastermind group says, you're like our scalability coach. You help us position our business to scale it. And it was actually Kate Lester that said, this is what you do, isn't it? I'm like, I suppose I do, really. And I didn't know what it was until then.
Yeah.
So I actually, throughout that year, I went away and looked at what I did in a structured environment for lots of different companies. So I've done this numerous occasions now. And it actually did come down to this model of called Scale, which I can now help people do, whether it's a small business or a large business. Okay. And that's what I do.
Okay, great. So, so essentially you've built this scale over years of working with different types of businesses and with your own businesses as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that we're going to share with people today, isn't it, in terms of kind of the key things really in what makes up this model. And am I right saying you can apply this to any business? Because one of the questions I think early on will be, you know, is this only applicable to larger businesses and is that the case?
It's not, no. It's actually sometimes the bigger business, you know, I work with FTSE 50 companies, and sometimes the bigger the size you got, the less they use this type of thing because they've got there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's actually something that a small business, if it wants to get to a certain size, needs to be aware of from day one.
Yeah.
Because the challenge is, on any, if you think of your journey in business, the destination of where you're trying to get to and the journey you're trying to follow, basically, you have to do certain things along the way. Because to suddenly end up running quite a big business without any of this in place, a lot of businesses fail quite quickly. And that's when I got to this company in 2004. That's where they were. They'd grown quite rapidly. Things weren't in place and it was unraveling before my eyes.
Mm.
And what I was trying to do was just give them a little bit of a sense of purpose. Okay, what do we need to do here, guys, to turn the business around? And as I said, I had shareholders, stakeholders as in staff, employees, the clients, the suppliers, all not very happy where the business was. So actually, it was quite a nice situation because I couldn't really fail. The business would have shut down, I'd have lost my job. But I knew there was something underneath that we could turn that around. So we started doing that exact thing. And the first thing we started doing was this goal, setting a goal,
yep.
Which I think it was really key. And one of the reasons we set the goal was I'd read a study back in 1953, so it does go back a bit, by the Yale University. Everyone's probably aware of Yale. And what Yale did is they did a survey on all of their students. And those students, they then revisited 20 years later in 1973. And they just examined the changes between those students. And what they didn't realise in 53 was what the results were going to be in 73. But what they found was absolutely incredible. In 53, they'd asked a question about goal setting. Do you set goals and how do you set goals? And out of Yale, and these are very educated, quite wealthy people that go to university, it's an Ivy League university in the States, only 4% of people wrote down their goals. In 1973, they revisited this group, and out of the 4%, it wasn't a surprise that they'd have better relationships, their businesses had done well, and generally they were more successful. What astounded the researchers was that the combined wealth of the 4% was more than the other 96%.
Mm.
That's just amazing. You know, but the only commonality was they wrote down their goals. So when I got to this company, I said, well, what are we trying to achieve? Yeah, that's the key thing. First thing is to return to profitability, which is we call it make the pound. But we all need to know what we're trying to achieve. So we spent quite a while discussing that, which is the first letter of Scale.
Sure. So, and that's not just for you as the business owner, and I'm sure you'll come onto this. I'm sure this is applicable then to if you've got staff as well, in terms of how you translate and how you kind of cascade that through the business.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the first one, so the Scale model, S-C-A-L-E, we're going to go through the five different things here that Martin's going to cover. So S is the first one, Martin. So take us through the start or the setup.
Yeah, so the first thing to realise with any business is it's very difficult to start a journey unless you know where you're getting to. Mm-hmm. So going back to the Yale study, it was about the goal. So the first thing I had to understand is where this business was looking to go to. Now, it already had contracts, it already had staff. Whether they were the right contracts or the right staff was debatable. But what we needed to do is we needed to set our destination. And a lot of people go, well, I don't quite know where I want to get to in 2 or 3 years' time. And that's okay, but you need to know roughly what it's going to be like. And I use the analogy of, imagine you're just going on a day trip somewhere or just to the local shops. Mm-hmm. Your planning of your journey will be very, very quick. If I just get in the car, I turn left, I get to my shops. If you're then going on a day trip, the planning will be slightly different, especially if you've got kids. You might have to stop over somewhere. You might stop off for lunch. if your journey is even bigger, so you're going on holiday, it gets more and more complex. And it's the same with the business. If we didn't know where we wanted to end up, there was no way we could have set ourselves off on that journey. So the S, the startup, is really important. And I break it down to three different levels. Why are we doing it? What are we doing? And how are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the why is like the purpose. Let's get the business rallied up to feel a bit passionate about what we're trying to do. It doesn't have to be altruistic. We're not trying to say we're going to donate all our money to charity, but it's something that everybody can get behind and move in the same direction.
Okay, so give me an example then.
So in that business, for example, our first, it wasn't my idea, and this is a great thing when you start sharing stuff. Someone says, wouldn't it be great just to make the first pound? Because to make a pound profit meant the bank wasn't supporting us anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because everyone's been paid. All the suppliers have been paid. Everything's going on. And it means the bank aren't supporting us. And that was our mantra. Let's make the first pound. And we set like a 6 months. It took a bit longer, but we set a time scale. And we were losing $250,000 a month.
Yeah.
So it's quite big money.
Yeah.
But making the first pound rallied the troops. And that's what we wanted to do. So the why was really important. And then the why justified the what. And the what was tough, because I had about 110 staff and I only needed really about 70. So the what was having to change that level. So we did get rid of quite a few staff. But they actually, a lot of them decided to go themselves because of the way we were changing the business, the direction of the company. Mm-hmm. And we were turning it into the how, which is the standards and behaviours we wanted. So the why is the purpose of what we're doing. The what is what the results were going to be. So the turnover we're looking to do, make our first pound, and so on. And then the how is split into two things. What standards, beliefs, values are we looking to have as a company? So when we get there, what does it look like? What's the environment, the strategy, the structure, and so on? But also the bit of, well, how do we get to the first pound? And me as the driver of the business don't have all the answers. I never have all the answers. And in fact, I always employ better people than me because it makes my life easier. And if you take the thing, just driving a car, if you're going on a journey and you're the only driver, then all the passengers just go where you take them to. But wouldn't it be good if the passengers knew where they were going as well?
Yeah.
Then they could take over the driving. And that's what I always try and do, is get everybody involved really quickly. So we have the why, and that helped us formulate the let's get the first pound. We had the what, and that was, again, the first pound. And then all we then did then is we then worked out, well, how do we want to be sort of treating our stakeholders, the missions? So what do we want to do with our customers? What do we want to do with our suppliers, the staff? You know, if you were a staff member here, how would we like to be treated, that type of thing? So we got this all very much clear as part of the setup of where we're going.
So this is the foundation, essentially, excuse me, in terms of what we're doing here. And this is key to the rest of it, I take it, in terms of if we don't know the why and where we're heading, then clearly we're going to struggle to move on to make this scalable and to make it a sellable asset as well.
Pretty much. And for a larger business, sometimes it's an exit or expand.
Yeah.
And I suppose what we're trying to do is develop a repeatable model. Repeatable model that we can either take and grow quickly, or a repeatable model that we can exit, but it's at the best position to exit.
Yeah.
For a lot of people in the entrepreneur circle, it's actually just taking some time out. Yeah, you know, most people who know me know I don't work Friday. I know today's a Friday, but I'm doing this because I want to try and help a few people, maybe lessen the amount of time they work in their business.
Yeah,
I don't work Fridays because I have this in place for my businesses, which means I can take time off to spend with my family, which is basically Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really key. And at the end of this, you get a sort of document, which we call a vision framework for action, that basically breaks down the what of the eventual where you're trying to get to backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks it down to quarterly, monthly, weekly, daily, what we need to do. Not so much of how, but from a financial point of view. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting what you said that. I think it's worth labouring on this point, just in terms of what people want from their business as well. Because, you know, we talk about the entrepreneur circle with Nigel and with our businesses, you know, multiple million-pound-plus businesses. And that's sometimes people think or set their goals around what other people are doing. But what you just mentioned there in terms of you and your lifestyle might be more important, the type of goals and the why that you're doing it for doesn't necessarily need to be what other people in the circle are doing.
No, absolutely. My first ever business was me.
Yeah.
I left my company I was working for on the Friday, found an office on the Saturday, and set up on the Monday. And I was just really, really hacked off with the way the company was being run. And I thought, I can do it better myself. And I rented an office off a friend of mine, and they had a little annex at the bottom of their office, and it had some desks in it. And those desks had computers on them. I thought, wow, that's great. And what I started to do without realising it was that when I was in sales mode in that business, so I was doing some cold calling that side of it, I went and sat at a computer where I had my sales package. I can't remember what it was called, I think Maximize or something. And I would write down what I was doing. And then when I went to my accounts and did my accounts, I would go and sit at a different desk.
Mm.
I was playing games again, going back to my Monopoly. And by playing this game, I was playing my accounts thing. But what this really did is it helped me, when I employed my first salesperson, I was able to give them the sort of booklet, which eventually became our end-to-end business model, that said sales. So they came in. Now, I didn't want to spend all my time with them because I was busy doing other stuff. But they came in, they were able to look at that book and go, oh, this is what we do here, is it? This is how we do it around here, and this is why we do it around here. So what I didn't realise, I was building up a scalable business model from day one.
Okay, nice.
You don't have to be huge to do this. In fact, I'd encourage every business to do this from day one.
So you were kind of writing down the processes and different things that someone could just come in and take that from you. Because I know there'll be lots of people on this call that will be one-man band or only a few employees that are doing all the work themselves or a lot of the work themselves and struggle then when they're trying to bring new staff in. One of the barriers is, well, actually I haven't got time to spend with them, or I feel guilty if I'm not spending enough time with them and they're not understanding the work in the ways that I want to. So actually, in terms of looking at how we can use this from the start, that's a really interesting point in terms of how you can make it scalable early on, even if you are the one person sitting in the back office.
Yeah, you're going through this at the moment. You're scaling your business quite considerably, and Nigel spoke about it on the podcast and other things. And one of the challenges is, Nigel as a CEO is a very infectious character. He's very passionate about what he does.
Mm.
But not every CEO is like that. And trying to translate that CEO's vision and their personality and their attitude, how the business should be, across multiple layers potentially. So the CEO doesn't even know half the staff sometimes that work for him.
Mm-hmm.
How to do that without having this process in place is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult indeed.
In terms of diluting the culture and the messages that are passed down as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so set up. Anything else you want to go on S before we move to C?
No, I think what you're doing is, so I said I needed to get rid of quite a few people. And what we did is we said, what we're going to do around here is we're going to do it in this way. And if that's comfortable for you, that's great. But if it's not, you'll probably find it's going to be quite a difficult environment.
Mm.
And by doing that, we did lose quite a few people, but we got some really, really good people as well.
Yeah.
And I think that was the key. We made it as one of my clients calls it the Martin effect, is a no hiding place.
Mm.
So if you want to be part of this journey, this is what we're going to do. And if you don't want to be part of it, well, that's fine. But this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah,
and it made a huge difference because everybody that then stayed after that point was really part of it. Part of our recruitment strategy was all about where we're going and how we want people to behave as well.
Yeah, sure. And by knowing that, you naturally attract the right type of people.
Absolutely.
And it also attract the right type of customers as well in terms of getting that message across to your customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. So next one is C. So it's congruence, cascading, contribution, correlation, clarity, communication. So what's the C all about, Martin?
Well, you can see I had fun with the dictionary on this one.
So
the understanding was, okay, now as a small team, we understood what the what looked like.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to make sure the business was aligned and congruent to do it. And that was the thing for a lot of people, that they didn't know what the business was trying to achieve. And it was really obvious when I went around and spoke to people, and when I go around and speak to people now in different companies, and say, what's your job? What do you actually do? Why do you do it? Why are you paid? And they go, well, I just do this and this. And they don't know why they're really there. So what we did is we took high-level numbers and we cascaded them down throughout the organisation and said, well, what do you have to do in your role, in your department, that actually contributes to the overall picture? And we asked them, because they're the experts.
Yeah.
You know, I might be running the company and the guy driving the business forward, but I don't know every job in that business, and it's stupid to think I do. So we said to them, you need to explain to us how you do this. And this is where the how comes into it. What steps are you going to take to drive that performance so we get the right numbers, so we can all get what we want out of the business? And that was a massive thing. We decided to go down investors in people as a concept.
Yeah.
And we did not do it for a badge, or we did not do it for a certificate. We did it because the concept around it was plan, do, review. And the strategy of the business is there because the people get involved in it. And the more involved in it, the more they buy into it. And we came up with this little phrase called own your own. And basically, own your own responsibility, own your own job, own your own performance. And by doing that, you understand how it contributes to the bigger picture. And if you don't do it, you understand what the impact is. So part of that C area is making sure that the contribution that you're making, you understand how it impacts other departments.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. We had a finance department that had a sign above their desk that said finance, really original. And I said, well, what do you do for the business? And they went away and they came back as a team and said, what we do is we make money move quite quickly. Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. That's quite nice. It's different. And they published that and put that above their desks, which is quite bizarre. But someone in a different department in this one company said, oh, I could help you do that. Oh, really? How? And they started to explain how they could help them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was a well-known mission, it was above everyone's desk in finance, everybody started understanding what they did and how it contributed to the overall thing. And I think that's absolutely key. The correlation between each department, even in small businesses, is massive. If you don't do something, what's the impact?
Mm.
And if you do say, what's the impact? And how's that going to change the business or keep the business from growing potentially? Now, as soon as you know what you're trying to achieve and how you're trying to get there, then it's just about doing it. And that was the key thing, which we realised quite quickly. Now, this did take some time to get right because I was discovering myself. I was reading lots. I was researching lots. I was trying to find out. So there isn't a CEO handbook out there.
Yeah.
Trying to find out, how do you move a company, whatever size, from one place to another? And the way to do it is you have to move the people with you. And so I had to get them to buy into it and own their own. And that was a key thing.
So is this really important then, if I am, you know, I've got two or three staff, I've not got departments yet. And, you know, so how is this applicable to me as a smaller business owner?
Yeah. So the first thing is, you know, as a business owner, you need to understand where you're going.
Yeah.
And is this your business the vehicle that contributes to that? Is it going in the right direction? And then once you understand, say, actually, I want to be a 70 or an 80 grand turnover business. I'm now 20 grand, so I need a couple of staff. When you bring on people, you can then say, this is what we're trying to achieve. This is how we're trying to do it. There's a guy in the States that ran a company called CD Baby.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name. It'll come to him.
Yeah, Derek
Sivers.
Yeah.
And his business had grown from a view, a passion. He wanted to take artists that weren't big artists and create CDs for them. And because it was such a great why, he got lots of people coming on board. The challenge he had is everyone was asking him questions all the time. You know, and I've been here, I'm at Botty Towers at the moment, and I've been here today. And because you're growing so quickly, everybody's asking each other questions all the time.
Yeah.
But what he did, which was really clever, is every time someone asked a question, rather than just answer it, so they went away and went, okay, I know what to do. He stopped the whole business because it wasn't customer-facing by setting off a foghorn.
Okay, nice.
And he said, this person has asked me this question and I can answer it in this way, but I want to tell you why I've answered it in this way. So what he's doing is he's sharing more about the culture of the business again.
Mm.
The next time a question in that genre was answered, the people knew how to answer it without him being there.
Yeah.
He left the sort of US and went to Europe to do the same. And his business, I think, went from about 4 million to about 16 million very, very quickly.
Mm.
So and that's still millions. But even for a tiny business, if you get your first two or three employees really buying into it, owning what they do, understanding what they do and how it would impact the eventual result, then it's very difficult for them not to do it.
Yeah, and isn't that a problem, you know, when you're trying to grow as well, having to spend so much time in the business and you know, I think a lot of people on this call, we wanted to bring in people so they can take away some of the stuff in the business that they're spending time on that is stopping them from doing the marketing, the growing, the moving the business forward.
Yeah.
And actually what you just outlined there is potentially a way that you can kind of scale it and structure it so that allows you to kind of take a step back and not have the whole business culture and the way everything's moving forward, you're kind of reliant on you.
Yeah, after we took this business and we transformed it completely, we did this. What we found is actually we could repeat this quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So this one took us about 3 years. And after 3 years, we were flying. We'd won lots of awards. We were just the sort of favourite choice of our industry. And what we realised is that we didn't know how we'd done it quite, because that was the learning part. But we knew enough that we'd go, OK, well, let's go back and repeat some of these things we did. And what we then did is we then bought companies that were in the same position.
Yeah, sure.
And we repeated it over and over and over again, including some that we had an idea and a concept and a bit of investment. And from standing start to growing it, we took one company. It was about 100 days and 100 staff.
Yeah.
Now, to do that, we had to bring in lots and lots of people, and we had to get them up and running really quickly. But we did that by saying, this is your role, and this is how you contribute to the overall. Do you understand that? There's a lovely story very quickly. I know time is always an enemy against us. But when Kennedy stood up in the 60s and said, we're going to put a man on the moon, NASA was obviously the organisation charged with doing that. And when they spoke to a cleaner in NASA and asked him what he did, mid sort of 60s, he didn't say, I sweep the floors or I clean the windows or something like that. He said, I'm here to help put a man on the moon. Now, I'm not saying every business can have that sort of level of understanding they can have, that level of, you know, real passion type of thing. But if your people understand what they're there for, they really do contribute to it.
Okay, nice. Really nice example. And I really like the point there as well, that there's opportunity here in terms of acquisition, or you could take this model once you've applied it in your business. There's potentially struggling competitors or other businesses out there that you could apply the same model and the learnings to, and actually turn a struggling business as you did into a really thriving one.
Yeah, I have through your products. There's one of people on the Mastermind group who's got a really nice, successful business and potentially wants to grow it, but didn't have an understanding of how to.
Mm.
And we sat down and we went through this in a little bit of detail, not too much, and realised they could take their local business and repeat it over and over and over and over again very quickly now.
Yeah.
If they get this done.
Yeah.
So the part about the S, the C, is actually getting a business to the setup and the system eye that you can take it and just scale it and repeat it on a continual basis.
Okay, nice. So the next one, A then, is awareness, activity, alarms, alerts, leading to action. So what's this, Martin?
Yeah, this is getting the business to tell you when it's not well.
Okay.
It's quite a strange thing, but when I joined this company, and actually it's the one further on, and we took it to back to profitability, I was getting a lot of information from the team that I didn't quite believe.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not too sure about this. So what I started to do was measure everything. Yeah, and I just put it in lots of big spreadsheets, but I measured everything.
So what kind of stuff?
Well, I didn't measure, because a lot of people measure sales results.
Yeah.
So they say, okay, so this month we want to turn over $3,000, $5,000, $3 million, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And at the end of the month, they go, did we do it or not? Well, you're a bit stuffed now, aren't you? Because if you haven't done it, you're in trouble. So the next level was, okay, let's measure it halfway through the month. So, but what I wanted to do is measure what got the result. Yeah, and going back to, if we go back to the congruence,
mm-hmm.
if people knew what they were doing and how they were delivering it to get the end result, then we just needed to measure all the activity in the business. And that was a real liberation for us, because we were measuring things that 6 weeks later had a big impact. And if we hadn't done them then, we wouldn't have had the results 6 weeks later. Does that make sense?
Sure. It'll take you another 6 weeks to work out the next.
Absolutely. Thing. So by the time you haven't got your result, you're 6 weeks behind the line. So funny enough, in our I set up an entrepreneur circle challenge, comfort zone challenge thing,
yeah.
In January, and this week's one is to make 5 phone calls a day, just to re-contact with people. And yeah, that's not a lot, is it? 5?
Not at all, no.
But what people are starting to send me emails saying, well, I didn't do any yesterday. Okay, I said, well, that's fine, because 5 a day is 25 a week. If you didn't do any yesterday, you've now got 25 divided by 4.
Yeah.
And if you didn't do tomorrow, you've now got 25 divided by 3. And the reason you have to do that is because you know that that activity leads to that result. So if you don't do your 25, then you're not going to get your right result. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So I'm working out, it's kind of working backwards from, if I've got a financial figure that I know, it takes me 14 appointments, and to get those 14 appointments from the conversion rate I know on those appointments to get to my £25,000 a month, whatever it might be, to work back from them to know that I need to make X amount of phone calls, yes. 100 phone calls to make that many appointments to make that amount of money. Is that yes. where we're going, kind of yeah. working backwards?
So the alerts and the alarms idea was alerts tell you the underlying activity that gets the result, and the alarms are the results.
Yeah.
So, you know, on a daily basis, we would measure across the whole business, everything.
Yeah.
And KPIs, everyone uses the word key performance indicators.
Yeah.
And I like them from a let's measure everything.
Yeah.
I hate them from a target point of view, apart from the result bit, because actually you swerve the business to focus on all sorts of areas, and you keep running to the place where it's not working. And what we wanted to do was measure everything, and then if there's an alert, understand the impact. And we've done that through the C model,
yeah.
large scale.
Okay.
So this was really important. There's a film which I've seen, Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia running 3 hotels, mm-hmm. and they say, well, what's he doing now? As he walks down the steps to go for dinner in the evening, and this guy turns up with this black folder, and this black folder, when he opens it, he looks at it and he sort of nods and says, "Okay, thanks," and gives it back to him. And that has the whole 3 casinos' reason for being in one day on one page. So it doesn't have to be that complex.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is roll it back up. So to do this activity, to get this activity to the right to the end, to say, so to do all this lot, we need this to get to the result.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because most people are measuring, and I'm not saying you shouldn't measure things, but I'm measuring the money that's come in that week or the month or whatever it might be. But by the time I've got to the end of the week, is what you're saying here, is I've missed the alerts, opportunities to make those phone calls or to do the things that are going to tell me that I'm not going to get to my target for that week.
Absolutely.
Or going to alert me on the way and allow me to bring in more people or change the way I'm working that week or change my priorities. So well, it's like, so we should drill it down to literally daily. Alerts.
And people say, oh, yes, that's a lot to do on a daily basis. Yeah, we had, when I left that organisation, that one company, we turned into a £130 million business, and we still had, I still believe it does to this day, have daily alerts.
Yeah, yeah.
Daily, where does the, because a management team of a business is not there to run the business, it's there to sustain it and grow it, really.
Yeah.
Business as usual should happen, and we'll come on to L in a minute, which is one of my biggest bugbears in most companies. But so generally, these alerts are there to tell you where to focus your effort, and it's because something's not quite working, and it's really important. The other nice thing about having alerts is that sometimes when you have to talk to staff about non-performance, it can be very personality-led. So, say, for example, you, and I know you're a high performer, but if you weren't, say it wasn't working in your area, then it's like, oh, Phil, we've got to have a chat because this isn't working. But when you have a figure that we're all agreed on, all we need to do is say, well, actually, it's the figure that's not been achieved.
Yeah.
It takes the personality out of it. It makes the conversation third-party referral.
So it's not about you and me now. No. It's about the calls that needed to be made, or
absolutely
the thing that we're measuring.
Yeah. Okay. I've had someone walk to the office once and say, oh, we need some more contact centre. We're a big contact centre. So why is that? We're getting lots more calls in. Okay. And we're missing our service levels. The alert was working. But what they hadn't done is ask the question, well, why are we getting more calls in?
Yeah.
We were paying this person like 70 grand a year. And for me, that was a massive failure. They didn't understand why the calls were suddenly coming in. So the alert was good.
Mm.
It identified they're saying not quite right. And if we knew we were missing calls, we were then going to start missing our revenues and targets. But the key thing was, well, why not? Why is it not happening? And that helps the business focus on it. So we can then talk to them and say, okay, what's changed in the business?
Okay, so let's bring it back to practical stuff. So I don't want people to get overwhelmed. Okay, I've got to set up all these alerts in my business. You know, what are the kind of things that I might start with? You know, if I'm running a smaller, medium-sized business, where might I start with this in terms of what type of alerts? How would I work out? know, the first alert to set up?
Yeah, okay, that's a quick question. So let's go back, you know, 3 years to when Chris and I became BGA, Entrepreneur Circle.
Yes.
Yeah, we had no idea what we were going to do. The idea was a great concept, local business growth advisor. So what we did is we just recorded everything we did over about 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, because after 90 days, stuff repeats itself. Generally, after a quarter.
Yeah.
And after 90 days, we then got together and we looked at everything that we did that got the results. So we said, well, we did some networking over here. Oh, that got this result. Oh, okay, that's great. And we did some telephone calls over here. We did some meetings over here. We did a few pay-per-click campaigns over here. So that started to drive, the activity drove the result. Mm-hmm. I use a little RAC acronym. So the result you want is driven by only two things, the activity you put into it and the competence, the skill set you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what we do. We're just measuring all the activity that we did.
Right.
And then we started recording bits of it. So we had, I think towards one stage, we had something like 17 marketing pillars.
Yeah.
But we only needed two or three people from each of those areas to drop through to get our result. And 1 month we didn't do one of them and we saw the result change.
Yeah.
But we knew that because we hadn't done it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go into, I've got this business, where do I start? It is all about just record what you do.
So just understand what are the activities currently Absolutely. That are driving the results.
Absolutely.
Okay, really nice and easy way to
do it. And then just write them all down.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be in a spreadsheet, just in a book.
Yeah.
And then if you write them all down and then you put them on maybe in a spreadsheet, but line by line by line, you'll start to see some correlations.
Yeah.
Going back to my C, between activity and results. And then you can start putting the linkages there. And that's a really key point as you're growing a business, is linking things that happen, especially over a timeline. You know, we had some timelines in some businesses that were 3-4 month delays.
Yeah.
Now that goes from a spring to a summer to an autumn to a winter type thing. If you get that wrong and people are on holiday, when you've got one department that's really busy suddenly, you're in trouble. So you need to know those going through the business.
Okay, I like this. So if I put it back to kind of marketing terms, it's almost like we're optimizing the business now. So if I was running a marketing campaign that was running an advert to a squeeze page, to a, you know, to an offer, and then I was looking at how many people had run to the squeeze page, how many people, you know, what were the activities that were driving towards that sale? It's a little bit like doing that in your business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, driving from here today.
Yeah.
If there's a roadblock for some reason, and I like to diverse it. One is I know my journey, my destination. Two is I know where I am today. And the alert tells me I need to move, I need to change. Whereas businesses have all these roadblocks that are happening and they don't even know they're there.
Okay, smart. So that's something I really love, that. That's something you can instantly take away straight away from today and apply. Let's move on to L, because we are short on time as ever. I want to keep it nice and tight and keep some time for questions as well. I might just run slightly over the hour, guys, with some of the questions on this. But I think it's worth it to cover this in detail. I hope it's useful so far. L, Martin.
Yeah, this really, really does my head in.
Okay.
One of the first questions I ask a company if I'm working with them is, how long have you been trading? And they go, oh, yeah, it's 5 years, 3 years, 2 years. It doesn't matter. And I always go tongue-in-cheek a little bit, and they got used to me now. Why are you not better at it then? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, generally they're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. What they're not doing is they're not learning from it. They're not learning from the mistakes. The alerts, which they don't have because you said that, they're not learning from it. So they're not learning that the call wasn't answered properly. They're not documenting. We went back to my first business where I was like, you know, just documenting processes called playing this game with myself. This is fun. I'm running my own business type thing. So I was documenting everything. And people just don't learn from it. I'm absolutely amazed. You know, I got this habit really early on in when I was younger, from 7. So some people know that I did ballroom and Latin American dancing.
Yeah.
Len Goodman used to be my coach.
Not many people know.
No, not many people know, but some people do, because people have outed me on Facebook a few times. And I got to a very high standard.
Yeah.
I did it from 7 to 15. Basically, any competition I used to go into, I'd win. Or I was top 4 or 5 in the world. So it got to that sort of level.
Awesome.
Yeah, some of the Strictly people I knew. That sort of thing.
Yeah. And you're not thinking about making a return on Strictly anytime soon.
No, definitely not. But so the first series of Strictly people I knew, the later that I have no idea who they are. But you know, from the age of 7, I had a goal that I wanted to, and I got into it through a weird, my babysitter let us down, and I had to go and see my sister in this competition, and apparently I said I really liked it. I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
I wanted to play football, I'm sure of it. But I got into this thing that I wanted to win a certain trophy, and it was my dance teacher at the time. They were presenting it It's quite a big trophy as far as in that age bracket, 8 to 10 cha-cha, it was called.
Okay.
So I had a goal, and I knew what I needed to do. It was one dance. But what I did is I practiced, and I practiced and practiced with my partner consistently. And I learned that if that didn't look right, I changed it. And if that didn't look right, I changed it. And that didn't. And these lessons learned was all about, I think, grounding me for future. So I did the same becoming a cocktail barman, and I had to do flair in a cocktail bar. I learned how to do it. And if I dropped a bottle, I learned why I dropped the bottle and I changed it. And where companies fundamentally go wrong is they just don't learn from their mistakes. Mm. If you improve your business and learn, if every day you make 5 mistakes,
yeah,
and you work out why you've made those mistakes and you change them, it doesn't have to be a massive educational process. Oh, yeah, we did that because of this. And you change it. And the next day you don't make those mistakes and you make 3 or 4 more. Just think of the change in that business by the end of that year. Where it would be if it didn't make the same mistakes again.
Yeah.
But we're all so busy running around doing stuff that we just don't learn.
And isn't that so I can imagine there'll be some resistance to this. And it comes back to your point there in terms of everyone's running at 1,000,000 miles an hour anyway. Haven't got enough time to do all the things that we need to do in the business. So is it just trying to be aware of these things so we can is there an easy way to kind of, do you have strategies in terms of recording the mistakes, or is it more kind of just being aware of the, recording these things or understanding what they are?
It depends on the size of the company.
Yeah.
We had a proper audit process.
Yeah.
We employed people to come in and do for us. And even, the smallest bit, I would still encourage someone, to come in and just have a look at what you do.
Yeah.
Because actually by doing that, they might release so much stuff.
Mm.
Friction in businesses costs money. And if you are ineffective or inefficient at what you do, that's costing you money. It's costing you time. So to actually solve these problems is quite straightforward. Having a process of how you answer the phone and then making sure you follow that process and you have a checklist and you do it properly is great.
Mm.
But then if you make a mistake, you just work out what that impact is, going back to some of the other letters above, what that impact is, and then you change it again. So it's not a massive problem. But what I see is people just don't learn from it. You make a mistake once, you understand it, and you change it. You make it twice, and then that's intentional.
Mm.
You make it 3 times, to me, that's just criminal. It really is.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting as well, when you scale things as well, the kind of mistakes that you've made before, if they're not recorded anywhere or you can't make other people aware of them, then other people will come in and make those same mistakes again. that you've already been through, and I'm sure that causes frustration as well, in the business for the business owner as well.
It was like that silly joke that some of the painters and decorators might know, the person that knocks on his neighbours next door because they have just decorated the house. He said, "Oh, I'm just doing my lounge. How many wallpaper did you buy?" He said, "I bought 8 rolls." Said, "Brilliant." So he goes back and he buys 8 rolls and he decorates his lounge. He's got 3 left over. And he's like, "Well, what's happened?"
Mm.
I seek to find out. He goes back next door and asks his neighbour. He said, "I have 3 left over." And his neighbour went, "Yes, so did I." Because the question we asked him was, "How many did you buy?" He didn't say, "How many used?"
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So he didn't share that experience of the mistake he made, which meant the other person just made exactly the same. And I'll tell you what, knowing of scaling businesses, that the small cracks in a business grow massively when you scale. And they can really undermine the business. So it is quite a scary concept. So just have a culture that you can make mistakes, but let's learn from it.
Yeah.
And then let's get together maybe once a week and say, well, what mistakes did we make this week? We had the EOD thing, expression of dissatisfaction.
Mm.
So any staff member, any customer, anyone mentions a word that says, "I'm not quite happy," or "this isn't," you should record it. And then when you get together as a team, and it's really easy in a small business because you can do that 20 minutes a week.
Yeah.
What expression of dissatisfaction did we hear this week? We had this. So how do we fix that? So we don't ever hear it again.
Mm.
That's great.
Yeah, imagine how quickly you could streamline the business and much more effective.
Massive. You find out you're employing people to go over the old ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you grow businesses, to scale a business massively, you've got to be very, very cost-focused because you're growing it very quickly. And if you're just repeating the same mistakes other people make, then you're wasting time and money.
Yeah.
So, lessons learned is just massive. Question we ask everyone, are you doing the right things or are you doing things right?
Okay.
A lot of people are constantly trying to get better at doing things. And the best way of doing it is say, should I be doing it in the first place?
Okay, smart, very smart. So anything else you want to cover on L before we move on to E?
No, I think that's pretty much it, really. There's a whole programme around it, but that's what we did with L.
Okay, cool. So we're going to go on to E in a second, guys. If you've got any questions that are coming up, now's a good time to start popping them in the chat box as well. And E is expansion, experiment, and exit. So talk to us about this one, Martin.
Yeah, well, this is why you're doing this in the first place.
Yeah.
So you know where you're going. Everybody's aligned to doing it. The business is telling you where it's sick and where it's not quite working. And you're putting right that by learning it and challenging it, which means that you don't need to be there. And that's the beauty about it. You know, I wanted to be the lazy CEO. I wanted to be the CEO that didn't have to be there. And that's what I've got now. I can go away for quite a period of time knowing that anything that's not going to quite work in my business would alert me because it's set up to do that. Mm. So whether you want to exit, as in sell your business, and if you do, then it's good to start with that. You know, we would say start with the end in mind.
Yeah.
So if you do want to exit your business, that's great, because when you get to it, everything's in place. You need to put scale in place to exit, because someone coming into it sees how effective it is, how well it's run, that the staff are constantly suggesting ideas of where to go next. There's got a why, a what, and a how. So that the exit bit is quite straightforward on that. You know, we're putting together a deal at the moment, just three of us, where we're looking to buy, I can't mention it because it's takeover, but we're looking to buy a company and then another company, that's going to end up being about a £70 million deal. Now, I've got no money, but we know what we can do with it. We've described the S,
yeah,
what we can do. We've described so we're doing a reverse buy-in to a company.
Okay, smart.
And we've got backers that will potentially do that because of the scale model.
Because you know you've got a structure that you can go in, yeah, to a struggling business and you can say, we are going to bring you X amount, yeah, of income or profit. And actually, here's the proof, here's the model, here's what we've done before.
And the great thing about scale is if you buy turnover and then get the model working, then it just works really, really well. So the exit, for a lot of business entrepreneurs, exit is key.
Yeah.
The next one is the expansion. So if you're in a local area and you're turning over 100 grand and then you expand to 20 areas, that a lot of people go, oh, I could never do that. Well, that's the wrong way of looking at it, is how could I do that? Because then you suddenly got a £2 million business.
Mm.
And you're doing the same thing on a repeatable basis. And there is, you know, people say that there isn't finance, that there are ways of doing it, and scale helps explore some of those ways as well. And I suppose the key is, for me, when I took this business to the next level and taken other businesses on and helped other entrepreneurs do the same, is then being able to remove yourself to go and experiment and do other things. Because, you know, the trouble is, it's very difficult to leave driving a vehicle forward as it's moving.
Yeah.
Without other people being able to drive it as well and take it forward for you, because you basically crash. That's what happens with a lot of entrepreneurs. They start businesses, when they move slight sideways or do something else, the business collapses because mm-hmm. it hasn't got the spirit of the entrepreneur still.
Yeah.
So the key thing, I suppose, really on this bit is that you can now, if you do S, C, A and L properly, you can now potentially walk away and let other people carry on running it for you. You still have to be there and drive it forward a little bit, but not as much as you think.
Mm. Okay, nice. I like it. Okay, so do you want to just give us anything else you want to cover on that E, on the exit?
Well, I think because scale is all about a DNA of the business, you probably gathered. This isn't just like, you know, it's like a car. It's not like the gearbox, the steering wheel, the accelerator. This is the whole being of running a business. And the only other thing I think is really important, and it was something that got me through, is I had this advisory board that was my board of directors that weren't part of the business. And it's something that kept me focused. Like every so often I'd have to go back and say what we were doing, how we were doing it.
Yeah.
And in this type of environment, it was like they didn't see all the bit that built into it. They didn't see all the effort, the energy and all that side of it. All they saw is what the outcomes were being. But that just helped me take that business from where it was, massive turnaround, and turn it around. If you're a small business and you want to grow to be a £500,000 business, £1 million business, isn't it better to have people on side that have been there and done it? So a lot of my clients from the EC have identified that actually if Martin's been there and done it, I won't have to make the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I can help get him to help me do that. And that's where I suppose having an advisory board, whether it's me or it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
Having people to show you and to shortcut some of these issues makes a huge difference.
So is that people to keep you on track as well in terms of with where you're heading as well and where you've agreed to head?
Yeah,
to?
Absolutely. I've got someone inside the EC that we talk every couple of weeks and they're sort of like accountability.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really honest with them because I can be, because I need to be as well.
Mm.
And so I'm not quite as far as I need to be. We had quite a frank conversation last week,
yeah,
about where I was with certain things. And I'm quite happy to you know, because I know that where I want to be and what I'm doing to get there wasn't the right thing.
Okay.
And that's key.
I like it. It's great. It's a really nice model and a system here, you know, to show you how you can expand your business in the right way. So, guys, we're going to take about 5 or 10 minutes of questions. I'm not going to bring anyone on the live chat. I'm going to just answer questions that you pop in the chat box. So if you on the control panel on your GoToWebinar and GoToMeeting control panel, there is the question box there. You can just type in your questions. I can see a few of them coming in now already. Just quickly, Martin, because I know we've gone through quite a few different things here, just give me the 2-minute rundown while people are asking their questions of the scale model again. Just give me the SC, the A, the L, and E, just so we can get that nailed in our heads.
Yeah, the sort of 2-minute thing is to take your business to where, well, first of all, you need to know where you're going.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. The end goal is absolutely cruel. And you don't have to be how you're going to get there, you just need to know where you're going. Once you've understood where it is, and you understand why you're doing it, what you're doing it for, and some of the standards, behaviours, the values you want in your business, you're not doing it on your own sometimes. So you need other people to come on that journey with you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make sure that everybody understands what you're trying to achieve. So, you know, I used another sort of analogy. I had to bring everybody together. I had to educate everybody in the why, the what, and the how. I had to align everything in the organisation to it. I had to track what was going on every day. I had to manage the exceptions because, you know, we did thousands of transactions. I couldn't look at everything that was going right. I need to look at where things weren't going wrong. And I need to eliminate anything that stopped us. And that included people as well. I was very tough. Some people in the ECL I'm working with, they know this, that there is no hiding place under this model. If you're not performing to the level that you know you can do, then it affects everybody in the business. And in some ways, the business turns on that individual. In a nice way, say, this isn't right for you. And then basically, it's learning those lessons going forward. Absolutely key. And then for some people, it's exiting and retiring to a nice place, somewhere hot.
Somewhere on a beach.
Absolutely.
Far away.
Yes.
Okay, great. So I've got a few questions coming in. So Mary Phillips is asking, back at S for Scale, did Martin say that an approximate goal is better than no goal at all? Presumably, having started with an approximate goal, you hone it as you go along. So just talk to me about Martin. Is that a good idea, having an approximate goal?
Yeah.
It's
a ballpark.
Okay.
I think some people go, well, I don't know where I want, you know, goal setting or planning is just another muscle.
Yeah.
And if we don't use it, and if we've never used it, it's quite weak. So the more we use it and the more we understand it, the better it's going to be. So all I say to someone is, you know, when I meet them the first time is, where do you want to go? Well, I don't quite know. Okay, just tell me, in 3 years' time, do you want to have a business that's turning over, you know, 50,000, 100,000, 1 million, 10 million, 100 million,
mm-hmm.
1 billion? You know, it doesn't matter. It's just understanding roughly where that's going to be. At the end of year one, you might change that because you've had some success. So, yeah. Getting rough thing and then improving it is a lot better than nothing at all.
Yeah, and because isn't that a barrier for people in terms of when they're setting goals, like you say, if they're not completely clear about where they're going, to have that kind of approximate.
Yeah, we run the Girls Club, as you know, and one of the things is people say, well, I just don't know what I want yet.
Mm.
Well, okay, that's fine. You don't have to know everything because we haven't experienced everything. But just set something that takes you in that direction. Oh, actually, that worked. And then another direction. Well, that worked. And then suddenly you start becoming like going to the gym.
Mm.
First time you got on that treadmill or that bike, it's a nightmare. You fall off, you feel sick and everything. 6 weeks later, it's got better. We always have to get better at doing what we're doing by just practicing more and more. So this is just about practicing, really.
Okay, nice, smart. So I've got another question here from Marie Cross. Hi, Marie. And it's coming back to trying to bring it back to kind of smaller businesses. Marie says, model seems to fit larger businesses, you know, your CEO experience, having lots of different PAYE people and departments involved in the business. But many of us are smaller SMEs and wonder how the model scales down to fit our size of business. So just bring it back down to that, because that's one thing that I didn't want, because I know a lot of the examples that we talked about today have been bigger businesses.
Yeah.
That's because obviously you've been involved in a lot of bigger businesses.
Yeah.
But Martin has done lots of work with all sizes of different businesses and works with, you know, members of the circle as we speak.
I've got a lot of customers inside the circle.
Yes. So why not just bring it back to this kind of more grassroots level for us again and start going through it.
So just forget the scale as being a large thing. So it's going back to just knowing where you want to go. You know, knowing where you want to go and working backwards, and what does that mean? So if I want a 30 grand business, what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? What do I need to do? And once you've got that, even if you don't have any staff, you then set yourself up with a, what do I need to do? Am I doing the right things? Because, you know, some people are then playing around on Facebook, for example. Well, that's not congruent with where they want to get to. They're not going to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And if they know they've got to make, base level, 5 calls a day, and they haven't made those 5 calls today, they know that their goal's not going to be achieved. So it doesn't matter on the size of the business. I started my first business in 91 on my own, and I grew it to sell it in 96. Mm. And I did that because I sort of inherently followed this model without realising, well, so I wasn't that clever to design it. I just followed this because I've always been a goal setter. And I always wanted to know what I need to do to achieve that goal. I then wanted to know, well, if I didn't do this, what would happen? And I wanted to make myself better at it. And that's what scale is all about, really. Mm. It's not about bigger businesses at all.
Okay, excellent. Spencer Cummins says, I was trained in dancing and drama school by Flavia and Vincent from Strictly. All right. I'm not as good as you, Martin. So there you go. back to the serious questions. Melanie Poynter said, you said it's imperative to get staff to buy in to goals, but I struggle with sharing a monetary goal that may seem massive to them as it's likely based on past experience. Should I use other metrics, she's asking here. So how do we kind of cascade that down or translate those goals to staff?
For some businesses, there is a worry, and we had this discussion in Mastermind. So I was talking about this to one of our Mastermind group.
Yeah.
And we had this in Mastermind, that if you take a percentage is 100, you know, a percentage is 0 to 100, yeah? So if you take your business as a pound, which is 0 to 100%, and convert everything into pence.
Mm-hmm.
So you could call it the Melanie Pound.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, actually, what we're looking to do is we're looking to achieve 44 pence in salary costs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Rather than giving the big, big number, giving the smaller slight percentage number. The only thing I probably would challenge is if you're looking to take your business to another level and your staff are nervous about that, or you think they're going to be nervous about that, I would actually ask, are they the right people? One of a group I was working with yesterday, one of the things they hadn't done and they're looking to take their business to another level is tell their staff what they're looking to do.
Mm.
So they did. They actually sent out an email, I think about a week ago, about where they're looking to take their business. And the reaction from their team was brilliant.
Yeah.
But if you then turn around and say, you know, if we're looking to take it to a half a million, that's not all my money. That's where this percentage bit comes into. Only one pence of that pound, that percentage, is mine. The rest of it goes to staff, buildings, everything else. So you can do it in that way around. If Manny wants to talk to me afterwards, I'm more than happy to go through that. It's a little bit more detailed than that, but it does get that across to people.
Okay, cool. This might be a little bit sideways, but Charles Gregory is asking, what's the best way to create systems and train them into staff thoroughly and ensure that they're being used consistently? Anything you'd add on that?
What's the way of training systems?
Yeah, training these systems. So training, the best way to create systems and train them into staff thoroughly to ensure they're being used consistently. So I guess it's how you can train these systems into your staff, essentially.
So depending on where you are in your business currently. So if you go back to my 91 business,
mm-hmm.
I just used to write down everything that I did. And I used to like put a line saying, well, that goes for a different department. Or I used to put a line going, that goes to this department. So I'd have an inputs and outputs.
Yeah.
So if you imagine a swimming pool and you've got swim lanes, if you imagine all of the roles, because all the roles can be filled by you, but you imagine all the roles as different lanes, and as you're swimming down, you're then passing it across a lane to a different role. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And from that role, you're then passing it backwards, like 10 days later or 2 minutes later or whatever. And if you draw that in your business, it's not that difficult if you do it as you go along. So every new member of staff you employ, if you do employ them, their first thing they should do is, as they're learning, they should be documenting. They should be writing down how they're learning and what they're doing, because then you're creating, as you're going along, your manual. It's called coaching, basically.
Yeah.
You're creating how you do stuff in your business. And I think that's the best way, is to learn as you're doing it, because you're doing it now anyway. So why not learn as you're doing it? And if you find a better way, you then change it. But when someone new comes into the business, you can then give them that process and that thing to follow.
Okay, smart. I like it. We've got a few more questions. I'm going to wrap it up now, guys. We're running out of time. I want to keep this sharp and I'm conscious of being respectful of your time as well. So I will let you get in touch with Martin and give you his contact details shortly. Just in terms of what people can take away, Martin, from this, I really liked the bit that you mentioned earlier about activities, and the key takeaway for me has been, you know, just start recording the activities that you're doing in terms of what's then getting you results in your business, and then be able to work out what are the activities that are getting you those results, yes, and therefore how to put those daily alerts in your business.
Yes, that is fun, and that is any size of business.
Yeah.
The result is driven by the activity and the skill set. Skill set you can train, activity just has to happen. And if you want the result to change, the shape of it, you have to change the shape of the activity. And if you know that it has to be done on a daily basis, then measuring it just means you know if you're ahead of the game or not. So, you know, every month we used to have a budgetary process, and I recommend to anyone, you have like your first month is your real month. So if it's your first month of the year, it's month one. Your second month is one plus. So it's your actual and the gap that you didn't quite hit divided by the remaining 11 months. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And month three is 2 plus 10.
Yeah.
So all you're doing is constantly diminishing what you need. So if you're meant to make 5 calls a day over 20 days and the first week you don't make them, those 25 calls have got to be made in the remaining 15 days. And by doing that, you just start really focusing on what you need to do as a business.
Yeah, sure.
And you start focusing also, do you need people to come in or not?
Awesome. I love that. There's been some really good takeaways there. Guys, I'll make this recording available, as always. It'll be up next week on The Vault, so you can go back over this, because I know there'll be lots of things that you'll want to re-listen to. There's a question here, Martin, from Louise Harrington. He says, when is Martin Norbury's Scalability SEO Handbook out?
Well, so part of my mastermind was to, because people said to me, you always come up with stuff that helps us scale our business. I'm like, okay. I wasn't aware of it. I just do it.
Yeah.
So one of my missions for this year is to actually try and put this into a program and a book, because I've earned hundreds of thousands from doing it for other people full time.
Mm-hmm.
I currently earn a lot of money for doing it for people like as a non-exec, so I help them on that. But I know that if people follow this and do certain things, they can do it themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't need to be there. And that's the key thing about this. So I want to try and do it so I don't need to be there. And that's the next stage for me.
Awesome. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on that as and when it goes. If you want to contact Martin, then his details are up on the screen now. martin@martinjnorbury.co.uk, or go to his website, martinjnorbury.co.uk. Martin, that's been awesome. Lots of people saying thank you very much. It's been a great session already on the chat box. Guys, thanks for joining us. Apologies if we run over a little bit. I know. Well, I'm sure you think it's worth it, so we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks very much.
Ciao, guys. Cheers.